If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd go to Revelation, we're just going to look around this evening just a little bit in Revelation chapter 21. And let me make sure this is on first. Okay. Revelation chapter 21. So we talked a little bit about this morning about, you know, if God was trying to tell you something, you know, so the next time you, I know I've learned this lesson in tithing before, you know, you think that, yeah, maybe I won't do the whole thing this time, you know, in my experience, whatever that 10% is, God has the ability to get it out of you one way or the other, you know? And it's funny that you know that, right? You know, I mean, something will happen, and it may even be the same exact dollar amount that you should have gave, and at that moment you're like, huh, probably better need to do. Because we know inside who we are, right? You know, and then once we realize that and let God work on those things, and I hope I was talking to the guys afterwards, you know, maybe normal shouldn't be normal. You know, maybe when we get on the other side of this as a people in a nation, that we do some things fundamentally different in our families, in our homes, the way we look at life, the way we think about America. You know, maybe we should not go back to, let's hope we don't go back to the exact same thing we were doing before this, you know. So tonight I want to look at this, and I've mentioned it before about the dedication that a Christian ought to have to what we do. I mean, obviously Christ is 100% all in for us, no question, and he is that today. I've let him down since I've been saved. He's not let me down, not for a second. But I have definitely dropped the ball. And many times, I mentioned this morning, that we allow things in our life and to take the place of where God ought to be. Could be your kids, could be your job, could be your spare time, whatever. I mean, we still show up to church, we sing the songs, you know, we're marginally involved, but he's not that everything. You know, I mean, and I believe as a people we want that. It's just a struggle to get there because we have a flesh constantly. This just gives us an opportunity to look at that. I just want to just show you in the Bible. Maybe we can get a clear picture of the way God designed this from the beginning. And by the way, not only from the beginning. So at the very beginning, you had Adam and Eve. And who else was there? God. And what did God do every day? He was involved in their life every day. That was the beginning. Well, let me pray and we'll get going. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to continue as we look at this, Lord, and challenge us about our relationship with you and where that ranks in our life and how much that we honestly spend, how much of a day, how much of the week, how much of a month, how much of an hour are we conscious of who you are? Lord, how much of that relationship, Lord, really means something to us. It means something to us, and that's going to show up in our action. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we see how you had it laid out in the Bible and what your intentions were, and Lord, that's no different today. And I thank you, Lord, even though I haven't done my end, but I want to thank you that you want to be with me every day. I pray you'd help us. We ask this in your precious name, amen. Whether it's Greg or Wendell or whoever, you know, if it's somebody you talk to on a regular basis, you know, if I don't hear from Greg in a day or two, you know, I say, what'd you do, die? You know, did you forget about me? You know, I mean, you think one day and you don't hear from somebody that you're used to talking to every day and you say, hey, man, you know what happened to you? Could you imagine God saying that in heaven? You know, hey, you know, it's been 2 days. The last time you were just waved your hand and said, hi, as you walked by, and that's all I got that day. Well, I pointed out at the very beginning when he created perfection, Adam and Eve before sin entered that garden, remember that was perfect. Okay? And in perfection, what do you have? God with people every day, intertwined in their lives. Wouldn't you like to know what they talked about as they went on their walks every day? You know, maybe Adam was getting advice from God on what to name certain animals. Maybe God said, don't call them that. That's going to be dumb. Who knows? They had to do something during that walk, right? Okay? There was something that they did every day. God looked forward to it, Adam and Eve looked forward to as a part of who they are. And then, of course, you know, sin messed that up. Then Revelation chapter 21, we see a new heaven and a new earth in verse 1. And I want you to look down at verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. We're going to look in the Old Testament how that when God began to build the children of Israel and make a people out of them and a nation out of them, right in the middle of that, where did he put himself? He put himself right in the middle of that. You see it in the tabernacle. Okay, when they stopped and they traveled, that went in the middle. Because that's just where it needs to be. It was, I mean, they couldn't do anything without being an earshot of the Holy of Holies. You know, I mean, it wasn't just a side note. The Christianity wasn't just a side. And here's what's humbling. Look at the trouble they got into with it being right in the middle. So you think of where we land, you know, when we don't have that same structure they have. Okay, so here it says this. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. So we know that when we get to heaven, that's going to change. When we get to heaven, that city is going to be built around him. He's going to be the center and the focus of it. I mean, that's even how you're going to get your light is from the Lord. So if he started out in the beginning with man and God coexisting every day, and he's going to end that the same way for all of eternity, this is how we're going to live, in a direct presence of God every day. How much involvement should he have in our lives now? Okay, if you would, let's go look at some of this, and I want you, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and then I want you to, we'll start here, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. If you just go up just one verse in the next chapter 5, in my Bible, it's on the same page. Ye shall walk in the ways which the Lord God hath commanded you, that ye may live, that it may be well with you, and that it may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. I would say that would be relevant to today. That we should walk in the ways which the Lord God hath commanded, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days. And for us, it would be in one of the greatest countries in the world, because God's blessed America. No doubt about that. Okay, verse 1, chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it. Now remember, the Bible's practical, so when they came over and they founded America, they knew these things were in the Bible, and the blueprint was very similar to what you have here. They came over here and they wanted God to be a part of what they were doing. That's why you see it all in our government in the past. Now, who knows what our kids are going to see, but we can go back and you cannot deny it. I mean, people try to erase history, but you can't deny that, you know, they had this in mind, you know, even when they were going about making our Constitution. Because look what it says here, that thou... It says, which the Lord your God command you to teach you, that you might do them in the land whether you go to possess it, that thou mayest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. He's saying, listen, it's important not only for you to do them, it's very important for you as a culture, as a part of life, to then teach them to your kids. And then it's very important if you want to keep going on, if you still want to be blessed in the land that you're living with, it's very important for your kids to then pass it on to their kids. And if they want to still be blessed in that same land, it's very important for them to pass it on to their kids. Because it needs to be ingrained and woven in our daily fabric. The way we treat each other, the way we treat lost people, the way we do business, the way we handle things when we get mad, the way we handle things when we get hurt, Our everyday life should have the fabric of the Lord Jesus Christ woven into it. Because that's what protects us when we act like him. That's what keeps us from being like the rest of the world that doesn't have this. It's not meant to be a Sunday-only thing. It wasn't designed that way from the beginning. It's not designed that way now. It's not only supposed to be an everyday, it's an every-minute thing. It cuts you, and what do you bleed? This. And he made it important. He goes on to say, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. He's saying when you go there, you know, you need to then, you know, teach this to your sons and teach it to your sons' sons. And look at this. All the days of thy life, that the days may be prolonged. Now, from there, go to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. I'll go to verse 8. And what nation, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8, look at this verse. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous? Notice what went along with the word great. Was it great just because they were good at war? Was it great because they had engineering minds? Was it great because they had all of these abilities? No. It was great because of what went the rest of the verse. It was great because what great nation is there so great and that hath statutes and judgments so righteous? All this law which I set before you this day, they're saying, do you see how blessed of a people you have? You've got the guidelines from God in which to be successful. And God's saying, hey, use these. Put them in your life. You know, don't just let it be something that is hit or miss. And here's what's happened in churches today. You know, so I've got older kids and I got younger kids. And my younger ones, you know what's sad? And I'm a preacher. It's sad sometimes when I look at them and I think, man, they have a better walk with the Lord than I do. Maybe you ought to vote one of them in next. Lately, there isn't a thing. Every time I go to lift something or do something, the other day, we got a truck stuck. I didn't. Wendell got the truck stuck. Although he would blame it on me. But yeah, immediately Stephen says, well, Dad, I know how to get it out. Just pray. And you know what's scary? Greg, he actually believes that. He actually believes it. And I don't know where he's getting it from, because I got to admit, I don't always live like that. But would it be odd for a Christian, before we did anything, to pray? Would that be odd? Would that be odd to sit in the parking lot before you go to work and ask God to help you and to be with you in there? Would that be odd? You know, it didn't used to be odd. Not to these people. But for us, it's become an odd thing to do something like that. I mean, in a day's time, how often should we talk about God? What do you think's appropriate? Should we give him an honorable... I mean, at least you would agree with an honorable mention at some point in the day, right? But you know, we even fail at that. I mean, we even fail at giving an honorable mention throughout the day of somebody that's supposed to be everything to us. He's lucky if he gets an honorable mention. Maybe we may stop for a moment and give him credit for something to somebody else. But I wonder what would happen if the world actually saw us living in some of the same ways that they did back here. And it says, let's see, only take heed to thyself. That verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, unless they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. He's saying, listen, it's possible for you to forget what you've seen. And what do they see? They've seen God do some amazing things. America has seen God do some amazing things. In my life, I've seen God do some amazing things. But if I don't keep it in the forefront of my mind, it's easy to forget those. That's why, do you think he's writing this warning to you? You got to have him put this in to warn you this can happen. Okay? Says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He's saying, listen, if you want to remember, make it a practice. You know, now there are some things about religion that's not biblical, and then there's some things about religion that is biblical. The culture of God being a part of your everyday life is absolutely biblical. That's absolutely biblical. No question. He didn't get it wrong when he walked with Adam and Eve every day. He doesn't have it wrong when the New Jerusalem is going to be founded around him. We're going to dwell with him. He doesn't have it wrong then. He didn't have it wrong when he set up the children of Israel until they picked a king. Okay, he didn't have it wrong when he set up, when they stopped. This is how they were to stop. I mean, when you look, they had the tabernacle. They had the ark. They had the pillar of cloud in the daytime and the pillar of fire at night. They had all of these things that God put there because he couldn't be here like he was before because of sin. So he gave these things that represent who he was. And everything they did on a daily basis, I mean, there was a lot of comings and goings between sacrifices, which Jesus took care of. There's a whole lot. I mean, it was ingrained. You could not be in that community and not know that they worship God. But people could come into our life and very often not even realize that because he's not in our daily fabric like he needs to be. You know, I mean, we say that he's our best friend, but really, what does that mean? You know, I mean, we say that because that's what you're supposed to say, or you look like a really bad Christian, right? But could you honestly say, you could look him in the face and say, you're the best friend I've ever had? We have to qualify that statement on both sides. We know he's not let his part down, right? It's not a question of whether or not what kind of friend he is to me. It's more of a question of what kind of friend I am to him. You know, what's that verse? Psalms 119, verse 105. You turn over. Well, yeah, let's do that. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy. Psalms 119. Get here real quick. Psalms 119, and then what was it, Sean? 105. Psalms 119, 105. Listen to this, which it's a familiar verse. It says this, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay, now think about that verse. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What does that tell you based on that verse? Is our relationship with God, is it supposed to be something that we take and leave? Or is it something that he planned to be involved, look at this, in our every step? We've gone past being involved every day. Now we've got him involved in every step. Amen. Every step. Do we live with God guiding our every step? No. But that's what it says. You know, that his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our steps. That it's something that now hasn't, not only an everyday thing like you see in the garden, but you don't make a move without him. Do you think about what that would save us if we actually lived like that? You don't say a word without running it through God. Don't make an action without running it through God. Don't make a move without running it for God. Don't get in a relationship without running it through God. I mean, do you realize what that would do to us as the people if we actually did that? have we actually got back? And now remember, it starts off, we're not only responsible for us, I'm then supposed to teach this culture of Christianity, of being godly, to my kids. I'm responsible passing that on to them. And then they're responsible of passing it on to their kids. And your future and the goodness of God on this country relies on whether or not the next generation does that. The more that slips, the more you're going to see stuff like this. I mean, you know, I was thinking coming up here, I couldn't even go to Florida today to see my mom. Not without a bunch of hassle. You think, man, am I on another planet? You know, am I having an out-of-body experience looking down at this goofy stuff? How did this happen? I mean, we're supposed to be able to go and do whatever we want to do. We might be stuck in Tennessee forever. You know, not only are you guys that are from here, or, you know, the next song will be Sweet Home Tennessee. You know, but you know, you think, what just happened? What just happened to America? You know, well, when we don't have God guiding our steps, and he's lucky if he gets an honorable mention, well, then you end up with stuff like that. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 9 again. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. Let's see, unless they depart from thy heart. Verse 10, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, said, man, don't forget that. I mean, there were some things. I mean, everywhere they looked, God was there. And this ought to be a lesson for us. And they still struggle. Well, where are we when we don't even, well, we're not even close to that. Let's see, if you would go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 19. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 19 or verse 10. Therefore, ye shall lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Now look at the wording of this as he's telling them again about how important it is to keep this word in front of them. Look how he words this. And ye shall, verse 18, therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart. So not only are you supposed to put them in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontals between your eyes. You're supposed to put them on your hand, in your heart, in your soul, on your hand, between your eyes. And ye shall teach them. In other words, God, see, he's pointing out to you how important it is for him to be very visible throughout your everyday. When you got it on your hand and you got it between, what's that between your eyes? Well, it's the Word of God. What's that on your hand? It's the Word of God. Well, now you would think that that may have an opportunity to slow you down a little bit when you're sinning, when you got, you know, slow answer. I forgot that verse about turn away wrath, but you know what I'm talking about. You got that hanging right in front of you. It'd be less to argue with your wife with your husband or whatever, right? Why? Well, God said, listen. Not only important to have it in your heart, you need to have it in front of your face every day. Because my intentions were not to be a weakened thing with you. In pure perfection, I wanted to be with you every day. I wanted to be a part of what you were doing every day. And in that complete perfection in heaven, that's the way it's going to be. It goes on to say this, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them. Look at this in verse 19. Now, we don't want to get struck by lightning, so I'm not going to ask you whether you did this or not. Okay? But think about this. Can you be honest and say that we do this? And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in thine house. Day's over, you go home, you sit down. And what he says to do? Talk about these things to your family. sit, when you sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way. So when you're out and about and you're just, you're doing your everyday and you're walking in the way, do you know what the conversation needs to be about? God. We do that today and they think you're some kind of weirdo. I didn't write that. He said that when you sit down in your house, you're to talk about him. When you're just walking in the way. Because God needs to be everything to us, it's not an odd thing for him to come up in multiple conversations throughout the day, right? I mean, should that be a stretch? I mean, I'm relying my whole entire eternity on my relationship with him. I mean, you know, and I'm relying not on, I mean, I'm thankful for what he's doing, but I'm not relying on the president to fix this thing. I'm relying on God to do that. Okay? Because I don't want to, I know if I rely on him, I won't get disappointed, or I rely on somebody else, I will. I'm going to rely on him. Well, here he says, when you sit down, when you sit in your house, talk about, and when thou walkest by thy way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Now, if you're honest and you're listening to this back home or in this room, do we do that? Because he's saying, David, that's not what I intended. I intended you and me to do this together. I didn't think it'd be all of me and a little of you. I didn't intend it that way. I want to be there when you get up. I want to be there when you go to bed. I want to hang out with you throughout the day. Well, he's saying, look, guys, keep this in front of you all the time. Teach it to your kids. Let it not be so odd. I mean, the other day, I started a lawnmower. You know what Stephen said? Let's pray. I'm thinking, probably could do that when I'm on. And I don't ever want that to go away for him. You know, I'm afraid that this old world will do the same thing for him that it did for me. Way too comfortable. You know? Maybe during this time when we're slowing down, we can get back to some of that. You know, I mean, maybe now we can go back and every day ought to have a corona debriefing. Have a life debriefing. You know, say, you know, this is something. We probably should have done this before. Okay? If you got any questions, I can't answer some of the questions my kid asked me about this. I can just tell them this. I can tell them about this stuff. I can say, you know what? Why is this happening? Well, you know what? Let's just forget about what we didn't do. Let's start doing what we know to do and get back to some of these things. It goes on to say, look at verse 20. So when you go in the house, when you go for a walk, when you lie down, when you get up, now look at verse 20. And thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine. Hey, this is like crazy fanatic stuff. First you want, God got me in my heart, and then in my soul, then you want me to put it on my hand, then you want me to put it between my eyes, and then you want me to talk about it when I get home, and then you want me to talk about it when I go for a walk, and then you want me to talk about it when I lay down, and when I get back up again, now you want me to put it on my door. I was thinking about this. How many of us have spiritual sayings on our wall? You know how many arguments that they've witnessed? The Bible right on our wall. Do you know how many things that they have observed, stuff that comes across the TV that shouldn't come across the TV? Right there with Bible right on the wall. I mean, if you and I were God, you imagine how much fun you could have that man just burn a wall down. They'll notice that. Made me think of that story at your house, Matt and Ann. I won't tell you, but that was funny, though. Not with Matt and Andy, just with the boys and fire, but that's a story for another day. But, you know, the things that happen, you know, with Scripture written on the wall. And so now he wants me to put it on the, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates. Not only on the door that I'm supposed to go out to the gate, hang Bible verses on the gate. You do that and see what your neighbors say. You know, it'd be like, I mean, every once in a while you'll see that, right? You'll see a car plastered from, you know, prepare, you know, for heaven, you know, they got hell on it with flames, you know, and there's like no paint on the car because it's bumper sticker. Well, I mean, if you did this, it wouldn't be too far from that. You know? Well, why does he want you to do this? He's covering a lot of your life, Greg. He's just not talking about an honorable mention. I mean, he's talking about everything we are should be him. Okay? It says that you're, on the post of thine house and upon thy gate. Now, why? That your day may be multiplied. Okay. I'll sign up for that. Don't want to die tomorrow. Right? And the days of your children. Now, we say we really love our kids, especially in this community, but it's a really tight family, right? Family's everything. Well, not if you leave that off of it. Because not only for you, but the success of the country and the land that your kids are going to live in has to do with this. And that's why they said, hey, keep it out there all the time. And do you know that there's little pockets, there's hot spots of this virus, right? And at least for today, we're in a really quiet place. One, two, or however many it is, it's really quiet, right? Not really a big deal here. Now, you know, you'd hate to say anything and then God prove you wrong and it go crazy tomorrow, but do you know what? If we lived like we're supposed to, you can create a little safe zone no matter what's going on around you. Man. You may have to dial it into your own personal yard, but you can do that based on this. I mean, you can get your family a little safe zone. Right there. Amen. No matter, Daniel had a safe zone. Joseph had a safe zone. It's a place where no matter there's total chaos, all he was in bondage. I mean, he was a captive in a foreign land. There's like a bubble around Daniel. You couldn't touch him. People tried. Throw him in with lions. Weren't hungry. You know what that was? Because look how Daniel lived. Three times a day, threw the window open, everybody knew. Daniel didn't just give him an honorable mention. He took it past that. Do you know when they tried to get him, they looked at his life. He didn't cheat on his taxes. Wasn't married. Wouldn't have cheated on his wife. He didn't do anything that they could point fingers to. So they then had to go to his walk with the Lord. Make a law against that. That's what they had to do in order to get him. Do you know why? Because he lived what he said. You couldn't find a whole lot of fault in Daniel. He paid his bills. He was a good businessman. He didn't cheat people. Didn't talk about his friends. Showed up to work on time every day. I mean, he was because he didn't just believe this, he lived it. Every day, three times a day, he'd go home, throw those windows open, and he'd pray. This part of his fabric of Daniel and this was together. Couldn't separate them. You know, it says that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. For if you diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways. Now look at this part. To cleave unto him. What does that word cleave mean? We use it when you said that when you get married, you cleave to your wife. That, and then what does the Bible say that once you do that, you grow as one? And look what it says here. To walk in his ways and to cleave unto him. Yeah, we're not there. We can, as a church and a people. That means they can't separate you. They cut you in half, it's still the same. You know, and he wouldn't have asked the children of Israel to do this if it was unattainable, right? So what we need to think about during this time, when our schedules are different than they were 2 weeks ago, when our activity is different than it was 2 weeks ago, our habits. I mean, I get yelled at for going to law. I'm like, Emily, I'm 51 years old. Whenever you come see me, my social distance, I mean, she works in a line of work where, you know, she's around people all the time. Dad, I mean, I never seen her care more about me now than, she's like, Dad, you went to Lowe's, you need to stay home. I'm like, hey, I mean, you know, it's like I feel like I won the lottery just to be able to go stay in Lowe's. That's how crazy it's gotten. You know, during all of this, guys, you realize we can hit the reset button? Well, do you realize how hard it would have been to implement these things 3 weeks ago? You know, implement them now is not that big of a deal, is it? Why? Because God put the brakes on society. Boom. Now what? This would be a really good time to start looking about how much of me he actually has. How much of my family actually has. How much of those things we have on our wall, these sayings, these Bible verses, you know, you put them on the wall. I mean, we know it's probably the right thing to do, but they don't do no good when we don't use them, you know? I mean, so we got him on the wall. That's going to get us in more trouble when you get to heaven, because he's going to be saying, you mean you did that right in front of that sign? Might be better to take them off unless we plan on changing some things, but wouldn't it be great? Because the responsibility is in us and then in our kids and in your grandkids and your nieces and your nephews. Wouldn't it be great since we have certainly developed the fact that it's an every step God? Wouldn't it be great to begin to implement that so that when those doors do come open, we approach that world a little different than we did 3 weeks ago, and that God's grace would give us more time to do more things for him? Heather, you want to come sing that song? And then, Wendell, when she's done, can you stand and lead us in prayer when she's done? And thank you guys for tuning in back home. I enjoyed this song. You know, it makes me think about all the people that aren't, and if you're not here today, you're part of our church family, man, we miss you. I can look and see your faces even though you're not here. And we miss being around you. This song, I'm sure we appreciate the song a little more today than we did a couple weeks ago. Heather, come sing that, and then when we'll close in prayer. And don't forget, if there have been people that have already done that during the service, they'll come by and if they have a tither, whenever they can put it in the foyer. Also, the online giving is up and running. Heather, come sing that for us.
There was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, truth didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to a place that feels like home. To the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Try to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. Not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to a place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I want to go to church. And oh, it's more than an obligation, it's our foundation, the family of God. And I know it's hard, oh, but we need each other, we're sisters and brothers. Oh, take me back to a place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first.